Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Matt McCoy, touchdown, Penn State, and the Nittany Lions cap the half with a 35-yard drive for a score. Player rolls near side, the lefty looks, he's hit and dropped. Mike Hull sacks him back at the 16-yard line. Della Valle will take it to the 25, 30, 35, breaks a tackle, 40, Jesse to the 45, Della Valle midfield, Della Valle to the 46-yard line of Temple. Good snap, put down, the kick by Sam Ficken's up, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good, and the Nittany Lions lead it 24-6.
Well, good Monday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Great to have you with us. And on this Monday, as every Monday, we're brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. Once again, perfectly ensconced in the Sunbury Motors studio. That is 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Lenape Solar hotline is open after going through a big football weekend at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Don't forget that Lenape Solar hotline is powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Well, Kevin's been on football overload between Lewisburg-Shikellamy on Friday night, Bucknell-Lafayette Saturday. Of course, I had Penn State and Temple Saturday, and of course, the entire NFL schedule yesterday. Kevin's been pouring through all of his fantasy football picks and choices that he made over the weekend. By the way, he entered the weekend third to last in his league. Not impressive. We will find out after Above the Noise whether or not his team has made a comeback. But before we find out that vital information on the weekend, because it, let's face it, in reality, Kay Herr is a fantasy life, we get to Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 MPG Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the Sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from, all at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us again from the Sunbury Motors studio here in just a moment or two. Bucknell losing this weekend. However, the Penn State Nittany Lions did win at home. Big win for the Lions. Want to say thanks to Brian. Brian had a chance to see Steve and pass along a great high and had a chance to talk with Steve, so it was great. Steve loves it when there's an opportunity to stop and say hi and chat a little bit, so it was great that Brian had a chance to do that and made mention of it on our Facebook page. So thanks for doing that, Brian. You can make mention, too, of anything you hear on the program or any topics you'd like to discuss. And maybe you can't get an opportunity to call in. You can do it on Facebook. Just go to Steve Jones Show And you can make your post on Facebook. You can also email Steve Jones at WKOK.com. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. Just some of the many ways you can get a hold of us here on the Steve Jones Show. And more specifically, get a hold of Steve. Report came out today on CBSSports.com from Dennis Dodd that Mark Emmert said today that the association would have started a formal investigation into Penn State had not the free report been available. Well, that really didn't surprise anybody. But I think as the statement went on, here is what I thought was rather surprising. So let's read on. The NCAA used the report as a basis for the penalties applied to Penn State. Emmert was speaking at a Division I faculty athletics representative annual meeting and said the investigation would have lasted a year and couldn't have started after other legal proceedings had concluded, probably in the spring. But he was said, quote, we would have done an investigation. Which gives the question that Steve, I think, has been asking for several weeks now. Why didn't they do an investigation on their own? So I think that this doesn't really answer any questions. This actually brings up more. And why Emmert would have said it is beyond me. But we'll get to talking about that a little bit more a little later on here in the program.
Well, who said what now?
Emmert's comment earlier today.
Oh, let's bypass that. Okay, I don't want to get... You know, after a while, it's counterproductive, you know?
It makes no sense to me.
Look.
That's all. I'm just trying to find the sense in it.
Well, look. Anyone who has any knowledge of the situation, and anyone who has common sense, cannot figure out where they're coming from. Okay.
So it's not just me.
All right. But we have to live with what's gone on here. So at the moment, I'm going to play cool about all this. And that's how I'm going to approach it for the time being.
All right. That's fair.
And I just, because I think anything I say publicly is not going to help the situation. How about that?
No, I can understand that.
I am not in an independent situation.
Sure.
So since I'm not in an independent situation, and my words on the situation may carry more weight than maybe they should, for the moment, I'm going to bypass whatever he says because I don't think it helps the situation.
Well, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For the moment, like I said, I'll go back to what I've stated the entire time, and I'll repeat it one more time, okay? The part I've had a lot of trouble with in all of this is as follows. In anything you do, whether it's a deep legal situation such as this, or whether it's a situation where something happened in the neighborhood with your kids. Okay? In both cases, you try to get all the information you can from all the sides, then you render judgment. This is a case where you have an alleged perpetrator. For the sake of society, it is important to have a fair but swift trial to find out whether the alleged perpetrator is judged to be guilty or not. In this case, the individual is judged to be guilty, thus becomes the perpetrator, is removed from the street. And as Sarah Bartlett has said on the news, as has Allie Stevens, sentencing will be October 9th, officially. It is my understanding at that moment he will address everyone and actually address each charge individually. We'll see if he does that or not. The rest of it you can take your time with. Because the people we are talking about are not threats to society. Where you can get all the information from every possible angle so that you can properly render a judgment. and then decide if any punishment is needed and to what degree. And that's if a punishment is even necessary. And that's what's bothered me, was the swiftness of it and not getting the side of Tim Curley, not getting the side of Gary Schultz. And, of course, they had no chance to do so with Joe. Now, if they were to have sat down with Tim Curley and Gary Schultz and say, quote, they don't believe them, okay, then you render a judgment. But if you sit down with Tim and Gary and Dr. Spanier, and you sit back and say, that's an interesting perspective. Then it may change what direction you go in. For them to have not received the perspective of any one of the four individuals, even though Dr. Spanier was interviewed by the Free Report, but Director Free himself even stated at the beginning of the press conference, could not talk to Tim Curley, reasons why. Could not talk to Gary Schultz, reasons why. In fact, didn't even talk to Mike McQuarrie. Same thing. Attorney General didn't want him to. They have a case they're trying to build. Okay, so they want to have a case harmed. Okay, that's logical. And then, of course, Joe Paterno said he talked to us, but subsequent illness, subsequent death, could not. Common sense says you wait until you have all the facts when something is this serious. And especially when Penn State is, quote, no threat to society as an institution. That's what common sense is. That, so far, not followed in this case. So, again, that's where I stand as to the order that anyone with common sense would do and follow. And I've said that from day one, and nothing has happened for me to change my opinion on that. Is it a knock against anybody? I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying that's how I go about my business. I don't sit there and render judgments until I have facts from everybody, where I get everybody's side of the story, and then sit there and go, okay. Where I sit there and they say, look, here's an email. Well, that email isn't about Jerry Sandusky. Well, who's it about? It's about Jerry Dunn, which, by the way, one of the emails happened to be about. You didn't know that, right?
You know what? There was a time when there was so much information swirling right around, it kind of got lost.
One of the emails dealt with Jerry Dunn's job security. That's who Jerry was in that one email. Saying, so now what about this one? What's the context of this one? Now, again, if you don't believe them, you don't believe them. If you believe them, you believe them. But you have to get every side in perspective before you render judgment. And in this case, that hasn't been done yet because, again, Tim and Gary don't go on trial until January 7th.
But that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of that did get lost because of all the information and how it was coming out. I may have known that, but I don't think I realized that reference was to a different Jerry.
Yes. I mean, that's one of them. So I'm just pointing out that not everything is, there are seven corrections already made in the Free Report. I mean, there are already seven of them. So, again, that's how I go about my business. I don't make a judgment on something until I have all the facts, especially when it's something that serious. And, again, this was just done, and you sit back and you say, wait a minute, what about their side when you're not going to wait for them? That's where I have an issue with all this.
Well, how about something?
And the other part, and the other part is about Penn State's culture. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've talked about that a lot of times too. I just like again, I've talked about this so many times, Kevin. I'm getting sick of talking about it.
I understand. I can understand.
No, I mean, I'm getting sick of talking about it because I've said the same things over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, I've talked about how I've defended Penn State's culture, and I've been vehement about it. I have talked about the great respect I have for Director Free and the job that his people did. But at the same time, he is the one that openly admits they didn't talk to X, Y, and Z. And because you didn't talk to X, Y, and Z, that means the report, even in his own words, right? He doesn't use those words, but if you can't talk to the absolute principles involved, your report is investigative but not complete. I mean, he said it at the beginning. He's the one. I'm using his words now. Okay? So, you know, again, what I say is counterproductive right now. It doesn't help the situation. And I don't really feel like being dragged into it, to be honest with you. I've made my statements over and over and over about how I feel. I have not said anything different today. I haven't been saying for 2 months now. You know, I got games to get ready for.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Tim Beckman had his press conference earlier today. And, of course, the first part dealt with the local reporters talking about certain things. Nathan Shieldhouse is the starting quarterback. Riley O'Toole backs him up and so forth. But the interesting parts occur later in the teleconference when the Pennsylvania writers are allowed to get on board. So for the fans who would like to hear the interesting parts, besides Nathan Shieldhouse starting a quarterback over Riley O'Toole, which actually interests me more than anything, but let's get to the TMZ part.
Introduce yourself and then ask your question.
Tim, this is David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News.
Yes, sir.
This, from a Penn State perspective, this subject is unavoidable, so I hope you'll hear me out here.
Sure.
It's a real hot subject around here, and however disingenuous, for instance, Urban Meyer and Brett Bielema might have been in Chicago saying they wouldn't do it, you were very open about saying you would recruit Penn State players. Is any part of that candid nature that you expressed or doing it? Do you regret any of it, or would you have done it differently?
Well, you know, again, when the NCAA and, you know, I stated what we believed in, what the NCAA allowed us to do, we were contacted previously prior to any of this stuff happening. By a young man, and we pursued it. We did not go and chase him. We told them that we would be off campus, and if they'd like to, they could. If they didn't like to, then we wouldn't pursue them any further.
So anyway, you don't regret any part of that, and do you think it'll impact the game from a competitive standpoint, because everyone here seems to be hot about it for one reason or another?
Well, you know, again, this game was, you know, developed, I believe, for opportunity. And, you know, when we had that opportunity to you know, go out and ask young men if they were, or they come to us and say that they would like an opportunity to speak to us, I mean, I think that's what college football is about. And, you know, I just I regret that it ended up being this much and is still talked about. But it did give a young man the opportunity to make his decision on what he wanted to do.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Tim, Herb Gould, could you just sum it up again? I know you said at the top Nate's the starter. Just what's the plan, you know, overall on quarterback? Will you use both guys this week? And do you need to see a health factor on Nate?
Well, being Monday, I want to see what happens Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There's no question, but as I mentioned, I think both of our quarterbacks are capable. Nathan Shieldhouse is our starting quarterback. If he is prepared and ready and shows that on Tuesday and Wednesday, he will be our starting quarterback. But that's what you practice this game for. And having 12 opportunities and only 8 left, in the Big Ten, you know, that's why we practice, and that's why we'll make that decision on Thursday.
Thanks.
Hey,
Tim, this is Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Yes, Scott.
Yeah, just follow up on Dave Jones' question. Did you have a chance to talk to Bill O'Brien either at Chicago or at any point after that just to sort of explain your approach to him?
Yeah, in Chicago I talked to him. And we spoke.
Do you expect any lingering hard feelings, or do you think things were resolved and worked out?
I mean, I hope so. But, you know, this game's about the players and about playing it on the field. And I know they'll be prepared. And I believe that Coach O'Brien does a great job. I know Coach O'Brien does a great job getting his players prepared and ready. And I think he's done a fabulous job, with that program. And we know that, it'll be a 60-minute battle, no question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, this is Tim Gilbert from the Philadelphia Daily News.
Sure.
At the Big Ten Media Days, I believe it was Mike Mowdy who had some strong words about, you know, other coaches coming to Penn State and trying to get players. And it was figured that this is Penn State's first Big Ten game, and they're going to come to Illinois, you know, extremely fired up. How do you guys plan to match their intensity?
Well, I mean, again, this is our first opportunity to be in the Big Ten and to play in, our 2012 Big Ten season. Our ultimate goal is to be at 12-1-12, as we've talked about. So I know our players will be excited about playing. And, hey, this Penn State's a good football team, and they're playing extremely well right now. We understand that. So, I know that the intensity will be matched because it's a Big Ten football game.
Any other questions from the phone lines? Anything else here in the room?
What kind of talk has there been around the team about Penn State and the situation that went down?
Not a whole bunch. Hasn't been brought up here lately until today.
I guess bulletin board material. Can you talk about how big a deal or not big a deal that is, just in general? I mean, if a coach has the chance to use something like that.
I'm not big into that stuff. I never have been. It's about still preparing the players and getting them excited about playing each and every week. And I know when you're playing your first Big Ten football game, you're going to be excited about playing it, and that's why you play the game. When you only have 12 opportunities and you shoot for 13 and 14, I know that your seasons are short. So every game that you step out there on the football field, I hope they cherish it, and I hope they understand, and I do believe our players understand that, the game of football goes by fast, so take advantage of each and every game you get out there in.
Okay.
That is Tim Beckman at his press conference today. To his credit, he did a lousy job of answering it in July, where he just looked completely confounded by the questions. And after 2 months of preparation, sounded no better today about it.
I was going to say, didn't I read a report that he sent 8 people to Penn State to discuss moving to Illinois for those players that were interested, as he put it?
I don't know.
I mean,
that I can't answer that. That I don't know.
Okay. Well, I know there was a report out. Now, I don't know if it's accurate, its accuracy or not, but one of the reports was that eight coaches, I don't know who they were, but they were 8 representatives that were at Penn State for those players, as he put it, that were interested in discussing it.
I don't know, because, the irony is the week that happened, I was on the road doing baseball. So I don't know. And I was driving the day Bill O'Brien did the ESPN interview with Mike and Mike in Bristol. I was driving to Connecticut that same day to do baseball. So I did not hear, I do know that Bill physically passed people from Illinois in the parking lot going to his car. I do know.
I did find the article. It was by a CBS television station in Chicago One of the reporters said that Beckman found himself as the focal point of the controversy when it was revealed that he sent an armada of 8 Illinois coaches to State College to supposedly chat up 2 Nittany Lions who had expressed interest in transferring to Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there.
So, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I just don't. Again, that's another part of it, which is going to interest a lot of people this week. It's going to be brought up repeatedly. I mean, it's going to be brought up repeatedly all week long that this happened. Now, Bill O'Brien will downplay it tomorrow, justifiably so. He will downplay it Thursday night when he's with me, and justifiably so. And as I have pointed out, you can fall back on the NCAA says it's okay to do it. That's fine. Are they allowed to do it? Yes. Is it ethical? No. Just because it's, you know, you're told it's okay to do something doesn't mean it's ethical.
It's okay for me to just pot your voice down and take over the show. It's not ethical, but...
It's probably not smart.
It's probably not a career move.
I don't think that move reeks of intelligence.
It's not necessarily a career move.
By the way, I received a nice email. From a group of individuals who were at the game Saturday, and it asked Jack and me for a picture. And it was awfully nice of them. They listened to this show all the time. And then sent up, I mean, then, you know, and all we did was stop him. It's Jack calling now.
hi, Jack.
I have to call about to talk to him during the commercial break.
Doesn't he know what happens between 3 and 5?
He's in the office. He's working.
Give him this number. We'll have him call in here.
Off week we're going to have him on. See, that's still him. He's
still calling. Speaking of calls, I got Buzz on the line that wants to talk about this week's game as well.
Okay. Well, Buzz just showed up here on the screen. You had hard for me to react. Go ahead.
Guys, I just had a couple of minutes, but I just wanted to tell you, this show that you guys have developed here this year has really intensified my interest in Penn State football. I really have come to enjoy it because of the way you guys present it and the way you guys talk about it. And I was watching the game on Saturday, and no offense to the people on TV, but I really did not like the way they were calling it. So I switched to your show because we get that in a couple places here, and I really enjoy the way you guys call the game. But there was a 10 or 11 second delay, which was made it impossible. Why? I was wondering why that delay is there.
Well, we're ahead of the TV.
Way ahead. 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason is you probably were watching on HD TV, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If you're watching in high definition, we're going to be ahead because you're hearing us in real time, or else maybe a second delay through all the processing. On TV, there's so much processing, especially when it comes to HD TV, that it ends up, there's a natural delay to begin with because, you know, somebody swears.
Yeah,
or somebody does, you know, whatever, or somebody streaks, you know, Kevin streaks across the field. And, you know,
not going to happen.
They don't want to take the ratings and plummet them into the ocean. Yeah. You know, so there's a delay that they put in to begin with. But then the processing between going to a satellite, bringing it back down, and the HD processing, you know, it makes it seem like Jack and I are clairvoyant.
Yeah.
There is a good solution to that, though.
There is,
and I've done this many times myself. If you have a DVR, pause it for about 11 seconds, and then you can, and then it will actually, it should actually work. Now, it depends on how the radio is done too. So,
let me tell you a quick story about that, Buzz. I'm doing the Alamo Bowl in 2007, and the monitor in the booth is on real time as if you're watching it. So, in other words, I call the play and, you know,
Oh, God.
Okay, right? Well, it doesn't matter because I don't look at the monitor. I only look at the monitor if there's a replay and we really need to see something. There, you know, there's a challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I could care less if the TV monitor's there. Well, there was a play. Penn State's down 14-7. And Stephen McGee, the quarterback, deep in his own end, it's third down, I think, 18-19. He dumps the ball off to Drew Goodson. Goodson weaves his way, gets to the sideline, gets stripped of the football. And I said, fumbles the football, Penn State recovers, A.J. Wallace has it. And I look over at the monitor, and again, the play has just started on TV, and I said, Maurice Evans forced it. So admittedly, that was one time where I looked over, and the little delay, you know, it's like, wow, he saw everything. Not really.
Well, I wish we had you on television, and but it is nice to have on your radio, that's for sure.
Let me quick say that it all depends on how the radio signal is, whether that'll work, whether my idea works or not. It doesn't always work.
Well, next time I'm just going to try and watch it on regular TV instead of HD. I mean, if it's only 1 or 2 seconds, that I can live with. But
I just like the fact that Steve's clairvoyant. I think he just sounds a lot smarter when he knows the play before it happens.
Yeah, it makes him look good.
And then if I'm out at the refrigerator or something and he sounds, you know, not excited, I just don't bother turning back to the TV.
I had to laugh last night in the Eagles game. I don't ever remember that network has switched away from a game to go to regular programming before the game was over. I've seen them switch to go to other games, but last night they dumped the Eagles at 8 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
That was really embarrassing.
Did they have Heidi coming up or what?
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was, some cartoon show. Yep, that was it.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Buzz, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, the problem I had was NBC had to stay with the Jets. The local NBC affiliate had to stay with the Jets and Dolphins through almost the entire first quarter of the Steelers-Raiders game. That's like torture all by itself. That's why I like Red Zone.
Yeah, I like Red Zone as well. Here's the email I received from Carol. Thanks. Hi, Steve. Thanks so much to you and Jack for your gracious response to a request for a photo just before the game at Beaver Stadium on Saturday. Sylvia and I were thrilled to have our picture taken with you. We found everyone at the game, fans, students, parking attendants, etc., to be very courteous and gracious. Wonderful representatives of Penn State. Despite all that has happened over the past several months, it is still Happy Valley. We are stronger and wiser and more sensitive as a community. We are Penn State, proud and strong and making a difference in our world. I'll attach a copy of the photo. Thanks again, and best of luck to you and Jack. Oh, that's very sweet. Very, very nice. So, let's see. Yeah, I look happy. There we go. What?
I'm not saying a word.
Oh, no, it's great. No, it's fabulous. The two of you were walking over and, you know, thank goodness I was wearing something slimming. All right, so.
Not a word.
Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. We're the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors is 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline that Buzz was just on is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. We will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. And as we continue on at 1-800-795-9565, the Monday edition, as always, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. You always go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin's segments are sponsored by TMZ.com.
All right.
That was nice to see the salespeople get in the act and understand.
I'm excited. I got a sponsor.
Yeah, just the one I'd be dreaming of.
Don't care. Got a sponsor.
Really? Kevin's segment sponsored by the Playboy Channel.
What? Actually, I like that sponsor too, but that's...
You're just ill-conceived.
Well.
Okay. So, you listened to Tim Beckman. not exactly the smoothest explanation of what happened in July.
Listener tweet, I think, put it very well. The Tim Beckman interview on the Steve Jones Show was hilarious. Whatever lets you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah, that is well put. My concentration will be on the game this week because I think that between Kevin and you, the listeners, you will take care of that other part just fine.
I mean, I'll be more than happy.
And anybody wants to call in and talk about it, you can call in and talk about it, and I'll listen to it.
Eight coaches, two players. That's four coaches, four people per player, not necessarily coaches. Huh. That's a lot of convincing to make a player move to a different university. Huh. Usually it only takes maybe one or two when you're normally recruiting. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The what?
I said normally if you're recruiting somebody out of high school, it only takes maybe one or two people to stop by.
Right.
Not necessarily four.
Well,
I'm just doing the mathematic numbers on it here.
Yeah, I understand.
Just doing the math.
You're usually just recruiting one guy at that school, not 50.
Oh, no, no, no. There were only two guys that expressed interest.
Right. Well.
World,
all right.
The world according to Illinois. All right, that's it. I'm done.
All right. We head to the top of the hour. Sarah Bartlett and the news. As you can hear, the Selins Grove Orchestra in full force today. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You always go to purdyinsurance.com. Second hour coming up, News Radio 1070 WKOK.